We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and let's go back to Oliver North here.
Put on the mark.
Oh, what happened? Well, I think there was a little bit more to Ollie, but we're going to let it go at that. So,
joining us tonight with more.
What's interesting with the Oliver North comment is that Ollie North is basically saying that he's agreeing with Bush that talking with Iran would be showing weakness and it would be a form of appeasement. Even though we're only talking about talking, we're not giving them anything. You know, talking is not appeasement. Giving, making concessions is appeasement. Okay? Talking with Hitler isn't a problem. Maybe Obama's going to sit down and talk to Ahmadinejad to tell him in no uncertain terms, look, you can't be doing this, or we're going to have to come after you. If you remember the 1990 Gulf War, it's unclear, I don't blame, was her name April Gillespie? Our woman in Iraq at the time met with Saddam Hussein the day before he went into Kuwait, I think it was, or a couple days before he went into Kuwait. And she was diplomatic and she used niceties, nice language, and she didn't say to him in no uncertain terms, don't cross borders into any other country or we're going to have to take you down. She didn't say that. So by not talking straight, we got in trouble. It's the same with anything. You want to let somebody know what your positions are. You can only do that by talking. Oh, you can go through a third-party intermediary, but who knows where that'll get you. That may be problems. Anyway, it's just unbelievable that here's Sean Hannity has Oliver North on to talk about appeasement and talk about you can't afford to talk to terrorist groups because you can't talk to these despots and dictators with unconditional, no preconditioned discussions. Let's go back and remember who Oliver North is and how he came to fame. In the 1980s, we were allied with Saddam Hussein. Why? Because the Iranians took our diplomats hostage and didn't release them for 444 days. So all through the Reagan administration, Saddam was supposedly our friend. And when he attacked Iran, we supported him. We didn't withdraw that support after he used chemical weapons on his people. We continued to support him. But at the same time, we didn't care if that war kept going, and this bothered me at the time. I always thought that it was a pretty calloused approach, but it seemed like the Reagan administration decided that, hey, as long as Iran and Iraq are fighting each other, let's let them go. We had no interest in ending that war. So Saddam Hussein was the aggressor, but we had no interest in punishing him at the time. And Oliver North was talking to Iran and trying to, we had other hostages at this point. Iran took other hostages, you may remember, after they released our original 57 who were in the embassy. And basically, he was in charge. Oliver North was one of the people in charge of the arms for hostages deal with Iran. In other words, we dealt with hostage takers, with terrorists, a terrorist state, and sold them arms to get our hostages back. Then we took the money from the arms and circumvented Congress, or Oliver North and John Poindexter and the Reagan administration did. Right? And this is the guy that's going to lecture us about appeasement and talking to bad guys? It amazes me that this is, that the irony of that escaped Oliver North and Sean Hannity. But apparently it did. Anyway, I want to go on to another right-wing talk show host here and play you another cut that I found weird this week. And this is Bill O'Reilly. All right, now, Bill O'Reilly got ranting last week. This was after the Scott McClellan book came out. We'll talk more about Scott McClellan in a little while and He's the former Bush press secretary who has come out and basically repudiated most of what he stood for and accused the Bush administration of all the things that liberals and Democrats have been saying all along, that he took us to war under false pretenses, that there was an endless campaign, that he's not a uniter, he's a divider, all those things. And they're just not used to hearing it from one of their own. And so conservatives were up in arms about this and immediately finding fault. Well, O'Reilly was a unique case because this is a rather long segment, but basically he's having a conversation with Bernard Goldberg, a well-known conservative who spent some time at CBS and is always happy to tell you how liberal the media are and how he's right and they're wrong. And with Jane, what's Jane's last name? The professor from George Washington University, I think she's from, Jane Hall. Of course, she's a reasonable academic, and O'Reilly likes having those kinds on because they won't get in his face, and he can get in their face. So they're talking about the fact that McClellan wouldn't come on O'Reilly's show first. Instead, he was going on Tim Russert. First, he went on the Today Show, which has a much bigger audience than O'Reilly's show. Then he was going to do Tim Russert's Meet the Press on Sunday. And here's O'Reilly getting madder and madder. And notice how his tone changes. He gets angrier and angrier until he finally tells us that NBC is in the tank for the Democrats and for Barack Obama, and that Fox News would never do something like that, would never support one candidate over another, that they would always be fair, both any given show and the network itself. It's really pretty rich. If you watch any of Fox, you know how funny this is. So listen as O'Reilly gets more and more angry and indignant at the fact that NBC is a partisan network.
Russert has to be tough with him because Russert's now on the line. His whole reputation's on the line. If he softballs McClellan, he's done in the business.
So if Tim Russert gives softball questions to Scott McClellan on Sunday, this is last Sunday, he's done in the business. His reputation's on the line. He's done. How dramatic can you get? No one interview is going to sink a guy who's already got his reputation made. Let's let Bill O. continue.
Listen, Tim Russert is not going to play kissy face with Scott McClellan. And it's not just because now the pressure is on him. That's not the kind of interview he does.
He went in the tank for Barack Obama, Russert did. You saw it in the debate. He hammered Hillary Clinton, and they gave Obama a complete pass. Don't give me any of this, Russert's a blessed guy.
So that was not so much about being in the tank for Obama. The media always wants a horse race. And it looked like Hillary was going to start running away with the nomination. And so I think a concerted effort was made to take her down a peg. But it wasn't about supporting Obama as much as it was about taking Hillary down.
Russert's good when he wants to be. He's good when he wants to be.
And he's going to want to be, and he's going to want to be on Sunday. And I think you have to look at any one of us who are in the media, you know, throughout our entire career. And Russert has far, far more pluses than he has minuses.
All right. Well, look. There has been a tremendous change, Bernie, in his employer's attitude, okay? Now, you went through CBS. You know what CBS did to you. You know that they hammered you because of your, I would say, fairness. That is 10 times worse at NBC now. Russert is an employee. His bosses have gone far left, and there's no bones about it.
O'Reilly has this feud going on with NBC, and particularly with MSNBC, and particularly with Keith Olbermann. So Olbermann is constantly tweaking O'Reilly and choosing him as his worst person of the day in the world. And O'Reilly is going back, and instead of just attacking Olbermann, he attacks the network itself. So his problem is that NBC is a liberal network, okay, and MSNBC is a liberal channel. And yet when someone asks him about Fox News, he says, we're fair and balanced. We'll always present both sides, and if I see an issue, you know, it may be that I'm hammering Barack Obama right now on this or that issue, but when I see something that comes up, you know, on the other side, I'll do the same. Just totally oblivious to the fact that he works for a conservative network. I mean, I'll just give you an example. Tucker Carlson's show was canceled on MSNBC for lack of ratings, but they have a conservative talk show host. He had his own show. CNN Headline News has Glenn Beck, gets an hour in prime time every evening, another conservative show. MSNBC's morning show is 3 hours of Joe Scarborough, a conservative Republican. Right? So those are all conservative shows on these liberal, quote, liberal networks. Name me one liberal show on Fox News. There isn't one. Sean Hannity has Alan Colmes there on Hannity and Colmes as his Washington Generals equivalent. That is, the Harlem Globetrotters always played the Washington Generals, and the Washington Generals would give them a good game and come close, but the Globetrotters never lost. I think they lost once in their careers. But the Washington Generals were, their job was to finish second and make it look like a fair fight. That's Alan Colmes' job on Fox News. You look at who they bring on, Hannity and Colmes, Hannity's choosing that entire guest list. I can guarantee you that. Let's let Bill O'Reilly continue. And Bernie Goldberg, and I think Jane is trying to get a word, Jane Hall's trying to get a word in edgewise here, and Bill O doesn't really want her to.
That place.
I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that.
Wait, Jane. Wait, Jane. Go ahead, Bernie.
And I'll say you're absolutely right about that, and I'll say this. I think Tim Russert makes a mistake every time he sits down on
MSNBC. Of course he does. He's playing that game over there to take his big paycheck home. So don't give me he's a noble guy. He's not. He hasn't said a word about what's going on over there.
I don't think I used the word noble.
Minute,
I said
guys.
There are more pluses than minuses.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't work, Bernie, and I don't think you would either. I don't know about Jane.
Get this. I wouldn't work for a network like that. I know you wouldn't, Bernie, meaning because we're both stand-up conservative guys. I don't know about Jane. She's an academic. Maybe she would work for these losers.
Any organization like NBC, which is in the tank, dishonest, has been dishonest, and doesn't deserve any credibility, if you're working for them, you're part of it. You're part
of it. What do you
want? Doesn't deserve any credibility. Okay, it's not about deserving credibility. You either have credibility or you don't, right? Fox News has credibility with conservatives and no other credibility because of the way they slant their news. And MSNBC is now going after a more liberal market, okay? Keith Olbermann does a liberal talk show, and liberals like him and watch him, and conservatives don't. What's interesting is to see how angry Bill O'Reilly's getting. I've never heard anyone on the news when they're discussing how conservative Fox News is. I've never heard them get angry about it.
You want everybody to quit?
Bill, yeah, I would.
Bill,
I would.
You know, I still think you can differentiate. You never want to hear me say this. I think he will have a tough interview. The Today Show was okay. That's different from what he'll hear on MSNBC. I just think there's a difference there.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
you don't
well,
agree
you're
with
wrong.
Me.
There's no difference. Well, it's the same guys running both. There's no difference, Jane. I know who these people are. You got to make a decision in life. If Fox News ever did what NBC News is doing, in 12 years, Fox News has never told me what to say, how to say it, and never allowed any of us, to go in the tank and attack one candidate and give the other a pass.
Well, and where do I start with that? First of all, Fox News, there's a DVD you can buy out there done by a liberal group called Outfoxed. And it's got a collection of emails and memoranda from Fox News headquarters. And every day they send out their talking points and say, we should play up this point, we should play down that point, don't cover this story, do that. Now, that doesn't mean Bill O'Reilly has to do that. He's a star, so he can do what he wants. But he already thinks like a conservative Republican. And I know he's not a Republican, but he is a conservative. Okay? And he already thinks the way Roger Ailes would want him to think. And so he doesn't need to drink the Kool-Aid. He's already addicted. The second piece is that this notion of that if we were ever in the tank, if we ever supported one candidate to the exclusion of the other. Let's just go back one election to 2004. When John Kerry was Swift voted, who do you think did that? The Swift Boat veterans for Bush put out the ads, but Fox News hammered them home and covered them and had those guys on and interviewed them. Now, it's true that the radio talk show guys did too, but Fox News clearly was after Kerry and was defending George Bush. I mean, I don't know where O'Reilly's coming from, that he just can't see that. So, in Bill O'Reilly's honor, we are going to break with my favorite song by John Clark.
There's a man who leads a life of anger, and every day he gets a little stranger. With every word he speaks, he yells, he whines, he shrieks. Odds are he won't understand tomorrow. Right-wing talk show host, ignorant talk show host, they giving you a time slot and taking away your brain. There's a group who spend their time complaining. It's bad enough they think that's entertaining, but their lenses are so skewed that all you can conclude, they're desperate for some IQ they can borrow. A rigid talk show host, batty talk show host, we're giving you a platform, it's time you were diagnosed. Simple thoughts, they come from simple minds. So notice who they blame and examine all their claims. Odds are you'll see through all their illogic. Right-wing talk show host, pompous talk show host, we've given you a forum, but you're still as deaf as a post. Right-wing talk show host.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I want to talk now about the Scott McClellan book. So, interesting thing happened in the last week or so, and that is that Scott McClellan, the former Bush press secretary, came out with a new book, and boy, did it bend some noses out of joint at the White House and among Republicans and conservatives. And there's four or five issues here worth talking about, at least briefly. So McClellan turned on his former boss, and he wrote a tell-all book in a way that few people break with the camp and go to the other side. When you take somebody like Dick Morris, who was a Republican to begin with, he advised Clinton briefly, and now he's on Fox News year after year, you know, often listed as a former Clinton advisor, but basically he's a Republican operative who has nothing good to say about Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton any given night on Fox News. This is a little bit different because McClellan came from Texas with Bush. Now, he didn't join Bush until 1999, but basically what he said was pretty damning. And we'll get to the you know, the negative side of McClellan and what conservatives and Republicans are complaining about in a minute. But basically, he said that the Bush administration sold us a bill of goods on the war, that they used propaganda to sell the war. I hate that word because everything is propaganda. All right? Ads are propaganda that you see on the networks or you hear on a television or radio show. Statements by the president are propaganda. Statements by members of Congress are propaganda. It's all propaganda. Right? The question is it honest and trustworthy information? Is it that kind of propaganda, or are they playing fast and loose with the facts? And McClellan says he's seen the light, and they were playing fast and loose with the facts. Well, there's not much new there, in that we kind of already knew that that's what they were doing, and there's been quite a bit of confirmation. It's just this is the first insider to come out and say, yeah, yeah, that's what we were doing. The second thing he addressed was the Valerie Plame leak case. He blamed Karl Rove and Scooter Libby for their roles in it and says that Bush should have, when pushed in the subsequent interviews over the last few days, said that Bush should have gotten rid of Karl Rove in answer to a question from, I think it was Tim Russert yesterday. Well, this is playing right into the Democratic talking points, of course, and Robert Novak made that point in his column in the Washington Post today. Of course, Novak was the original leaker, the original guy who revealed that Valerie Plame was a CIA agent, that Joe Wilson's wife was a CIA agent. He's the one that outed her. And his point in the column today is a little esoteric, but I'll spend a minute on it here. For those of you who remember the Valerie Plame case, and the Prince of Darkness, that is Robert Novak, has been a columnist for, you know, 45 years or whatever. He just celebrated his, I think, his 45th anniversary. But he, or maybe it was 50. But the case he makes here was that this isn't really McClellan talking, it's because he's buying into the Democratic talking points, because the leakers were not Rove and Libby, but the leaker of her name, of Valerie Plame's name, was Richard Armitage over at the State Department. Okay, so to clarify, I hear that from conservatives, from talk show hosts, from that's a Republican talking point at this point. It is true that Armitage leaked her name, and it was inadvertent. He didn't mean to, right? But his leak came first, and the prosecutor uncovered that fact, that Richard Armitage leaked this to Robert Novak first, before Scooter Libby or Karl Rove leaked it. But that doesn't mean that they didn't leak it, right? They each leaked it, and they each leaked it to two different reporters. And it appears to have been part of a concerted effort to impugn Joe Wilson. Whether they knew she was a CIA agent or not, I mean a covert agent or not, remains to be seen. But I was shocked at how full of errors Novak's column is today, since he's the guy at the center of this. He said that she wasn't an undercover operative. He is as much as said that in today's article, and that Fitzgerald knew it. Au contraire, if you read Fitzgerald's report, he makes the case that she was, and that the CIA must have thought so because they asked him to start the investigation into this. So I'm not going to go any further down this line except to say that it's opened up this whole Scooter Libby, Karl Rove flap again about the Valerie Plame leak. And, of course, the reason McClellan's upset about that is he may have misled the press more than once, but the one time that everyone knows he lied to them, the press, was when he said, Karl Rove's not involved, Scooter Libby's not involved, I've talked to both of them, they've told me so themselves, so you can take that to the bank, is essentially what he said. Well, it turned out to be wrong, and for months, when evidence looked like it went the other direction, Scott McClellan kept saying, well, there's an ongoing investigation, so I don't want to comment. It turned into a running joke, the ongoing investigation, so it'd be best if I don't comment stuff. In the end, he lost his credibility because Rove and Libby lied to him about that. And I'm not going to go into the details. Rove claims he didn't lie because he says that, I'll go into one detail. He says that McClellan asked me, did you leak Valerie Plame's name? And Rove thought, no, I never gave her name. I just said Joe Wilson's wife. So I told him, no, I didn't leak her name. Scott McClellan is pretty clear that he talked to Rove and said, did you have anything to do with this leak? Did you in any way, were you involved in any way? And Rove said no. So leave it at that. That's the second thing that was in the book that's brought back up. He makes an interesting point that's been lost on most of these folks, and that is that the second term opportunity the Bush administration had was lost. They won a victory in 2004, and it may have been a chance for Bush to reach out and possibly reach across the aisle to actually be a uniter, not a divider, perhaps choose a Democrat for the cabinet, perhaps replace a few people, bring in some new blood. And he points out that Bush didn't do that. They took the election as vindication of the war to continue with their current plans to keep Rumsfeld in place, to keep, who was the chief of staff at the time? I've forgotten. And to keep, to expand Karl Rove's responsibility. Rove was not just given control of the political side of things, he was given a policy role. That lasted about a year. So that's a point McClellan makes. The interesting question, the other point he makes is that the networks rolled over on Iraq and they didn't do their job. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that.